Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Got the horses in the back.
Is this the Billy Ray Cyrus one?
Well, yeah, Lil Nas with featuring Billy Ray.
Has this gone to number one? Did it blow up like we thought it would blow up? Or
not? I think Daryl's telling me it has like over 2 million views or 10 million views?
16 million.
16 million. Okay, my bag. I'm trying to understand. It's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool song. Now you got to wait for the extended version because you know they're about to do one. They're about to milk this thing. They're about to milk it.
Big weekend of sports course Final Four. A tough loss for Auburn, as everybody knows, and the foul that was a foul, but some people saying shouldn't have been called. It was a foul. People arguing as to whether or not it was called, of course, preceded by the non-call and the double dribble. But whatever, Auburn's spirited comeback from being down 10. When they were down 10 with 5:24 to go in the game, I thought that thing is over. I went, oh, this is going to be over. And they came roaring back. Not only did they make that up, they took the lead.
That was pretty impressive. And that's why a lot of people felt like it was going to be Auburn's game. Felt like Auburn, like you climb back into it like that, John, then you feel like, you know, the basketball gods, are shining down on you. But that wasn't the case. That was not the case for Auburn.
Then Michigan State, of course, doesn't show up against Texas Tech. And part of it's due to Texas Tech's defense. I'll credit them. I'm not going to say that Texas Tech hasn't had a magical run and their defense didn't have something to do with it. But, boy, Michigan State just, oof, man, that was not their A game. It was like their D-plus game, maybe. That was the game they played when they lost twice to Indiana. That was what I saw. They just did not, and they disappear, and Texas Tech plays Virginia tonight. Our coverage begins at 7:30. National championship game is set. Hawks get ready for their closer on the season Wednesday night at home in the final game of the season against Indiana in the Fan Appreciation Night. Tickets available at Hawks.com, and, of course, live coverage on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All of this is the Braves complete a 5-1 homestand and head off to Denver with good news and bad news. The 5-1 homestand is all good news. You had a chance to be 6-0, but couldn't quite get the clutch hit. Everybody wants to blame, A.J. Minner for Saturday and what happened, but that team left so many men on base. They should have blown that game open early.
Yeah. That was the problem with that one. There were 14 guys that didn't make it home. They didn't make it home and almost had a situation yesterday where Arodis Vizcaíno almost lost the game for you. But the bullpen did not hurt you so much this weekend. You still made it out of the series with 2-1. So, yeah. But that is a question. That is something that you're going to have to address at some point. You're going to have to address that at some point.
Right. We have a couple of questions on the ball club, too, and you can weigh in at 404-741-0929. One of the questions is, what are you going to do about that bullpen?
What are you going to do?
With Luke Jackson and A.J. Minner and Arodis Vizcaíno and how they are – they come into games where the starters have been so good this year. Their collective ERA is 2.15. They're going deep into games. You have Mike Foltynewicz and Mike Soroka both throwing five-inning no-hitters at Gwinnett. They are ready to join the team just about to a starting rotation that has been with Newcomb and Wright and Teran and Fried and Gausman pretty darn good so far this year. I mean, the starting pitching's been fine. The two issues now, one of them cropped up, of course, with the injuries to McCann and Flowers and Alex Jackson in at catcher. There's nothing you can do about that issue. That's something you're going to have to address. And hopefully McCann's not on the shelf too long.
No, not too long. And Tyler Flowers was, if he had to go, he could have went yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But, they said luckily they really didn't need him.
Right, so you don't have long-term deals with the catchers. The big issue remains the bullpen. As it was before the season, it remains the bullpen. Now, the second biggest issue is getting the two big bats in the lineup going. And those two big bats are not going yet. You don't have the bat of Ronald Acuna Jr. going, and you don't have Josh Donaldson kind of warmed up, which led me to say, I've been a little, some people are saying, well, is he pressing because of the new contract? And I've been, worried that it's a case where batting fourth is not going to fit him, batting cleanup. So I think that in Denver, maybe in order to get Donaldson and Acuna going, maybe just for three games you put Acuna back at the leadoff spot?
I think that you let it play out, John. Maybe after this three-game series, then maybe you consider that. If he's still slumping a little bit, then you maybe consider moving him around in the lineup a little bit. But, you know, it's funny that somebody else had chimed in and said the same thing. Ezekiel Love kind of feels the same way that you do with this. I just feel like in baseball right now, you don't make moves this early just for the sake of moving them. I mean, it's still – you're still up. You're one game up and over 500 right now. And it's still early. Now, if this trend persists and keeps going, then I would think that you start moving people around. But right now, I don't think that's the case.
Kev tweets in at it, Ender and Ozzy are doing the job at leadoff. The Braves are winning. Small sample sizes are dangerous for sports talk radio. Yes, they are.
Yeah.
I mean, of course they are. They're always dangerous for everybody, and not just sports talk radio, but for fans. But Kev's not wrong. Ender and Ozzy are doing the job at leadoff. The Braves are winning. So what's the issue? It's not about Ender and Ozzy. It's not about the leadoff spot. It's about Ronald Acuna. And he's 1-for-17 since he signed the big contract. Some people think he's pressing a little bit. It's about Josh Donaldson, who hasn't caught his stride yet. And I'm just thinking of a way to kind of jumpstart those two guys might be to put Acuna for three games in Denver.
I would say, if anything, and I think they're going to do this today. If anything, put Johan Camargo out there and let him get in the lineup a little bit. And I think that's going to help out a little bit. As far as Acuna is concerned, you just got to let him work through this. I don't think it's at a point now where it needs to be addressed. I don't think it's something that, you know, you need to be like, hey, bro, you okay? It's only been a couple of days. And that's the ebb and flow of baseball. That's just how it goes. Some guys come off hitting the ball off the cover. Some guys, it takes them a little while to come around. Perfect example, Bryce Harper. What was he, 0-for-3 the first night? And now he's starting to come around. I think you need to get Ronald Acuna Jr. a little bit of chance to get warmed up a little bit, John Frickie.
All right, we go to the phone so you can react to Chris in Atlanta. Chris is on with John and you. Hey, Chris.
Hey, good morning. How y'all doing?
Good, man.
I think Hugh made a pretty good point about Bryce Harper on opening day. I think he had maybe 2 or 3 strikeouts, and then, you know, see how rolling he's getting. I think with Acuna, John, I think his at-bats have been pretty good. You know, he's been going deep in the counts. You know, he's not really biting on, you know, the off-speed or breaking balls. You know, I think he has worked a lot of counts full, and I think he's really just right there. And I feel like he is pressing a little bit. You know, I wouldn't mind. Personally, I could see him maybe switching Donaldson to the 4 spot and him to the 2 spot, but I think he's really right there because his at-bats have been pretty good. He just needs to, you know, finish it off, because even in his last at-bat, you know, with that catcher having interference, you know, he ran it full. So I think he's there, honestly.
Well, yeah, I can see where you say that he's there. Thanks, Chris. Do appreciate it. 404-741-0929. And some of his outs have been loud outs. He's smoking the ball. He's just not, getting, you know, hitting line drives, hitting hard ground balls. He's hitting the ball. And one of the things I think, though, is Ender and Ozzy, it's not about them. It's about Donaldson. First off, my understanding is Josh Donaldson didn't make a request to bat number 2. It was a demand.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not really moving.
Is that right?
Yeah, that it was a demand that he hit number 2. He said, I'm hitting second. End of story. And
I guess
so,
if you got a mullet that looked like that, you can go and tell people what you want to do. They don't really too much want to fool with you.
That's kind of my understanding. Whether that's true or not, I wasn't part of the conversation, but I was kind of led to believe that that's what he said. I'm just trying to figure out a way. And by the way, I'm not trying to say they absolutely – I don't think they will do it. I expect that in Denver tonight, Ronald Acuna will be batting cleanup. I was just trying to figure out a way to get these guys kind of jump-started, and I thought maybe if you put Ender back at the top of the lineup, it would give Donaldson some – I don't know, a chance to jump-start. He's hitting in front of Freddie, so he's getting good pitches. Both of them are going to warm up, and when they do, it'll be fine.
Yeah, and like I said, John, for me, baseball, it's obviously a day-to-day thing, and some days you're on and some days you're off. But if it becomes a situation where the whole lineup is having issues, then maybe you start moving guys around.
This is true of Ronald Acuna Jr. as well. He's only been around – we have a – talk about small sampling size. We're only talking about – you know, better part of 3 seasons. But we have seen that he starts slowly in spring training or in AA or in AAA or with the Braves. He's a slow starter. This is not out of the ordinary for Ronald Acuna Jr. Once he catches fire, he takes off and goes to the moon. So it may not be a product of him batting fourth. It's just a matter of waiting for him to catch. Once he catches, and the caller, Chris, might be right, he may be close. He may go to Denver and explode and hit 5 home runs in 3 games.
Maybe. And that's all you need. I think that, and I think going to Colorado, that's a hitter's park, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, ball flies there. Yeah, you better believe it.
That's a hitter's park. So, yeah, he probably will get on this week. Getting up there in Colorado.
And all come I was home. Thinking about is a way, maybe if you felt like you had to do something to jumpstart those two, because it's those two big bats we need to start booming. Look, I have full faith that both Josh Donaldson and Ronald Acuna Jr. are going to hit a ton of home runs this year, and they are both going to get red hot. We're going to be sitting on the radio at some point going, man, look at how hot they are.
No, you're going to be sitting on there doing that.
You darn right I am.
Yeah, you're going to calm down.
I'm
going to
be pounding the table.
Yeah,
no.
You're not going to calm down.
No.
But I don't think but to the point, John, I don't think you should start moving the lineup around just yet. Because there's I don't think there's any need to right now.
Well, maybe, you know, all right. And that's a fair analysis. And so that's probably what's going to happen.
Well, yeah. Well, you're talking about what? 2 series so far. Well, 3, excuse me. I forgot the Chicago series. 3 series so far. Still early. Still way too early to start tweaking the lineup, in my opinion. Still too early.
Yeah, that's why I was just, you know, kind of throwing it out there. We're talking about the Braves as they get ready to go to Colorado. It's going to be a short 3-game stint in Denver. Then they're right back here on Thursday to play the New York Mets as the Braves go 5-1 in this homestand against the Cubs and Marlins. And we bury that Phillies thing so deep in the past and try to forget that existed.
Amnesia. Got amnesia. And then you know what Friday is? I don't know about you. Well, you know, it's obviously the red out at SunTrust. But you know what else it is? And I know I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, and we'll probably talk about this through the rest of the week, but it's Game of Thrones night. Because do you know what this weekend is? Game of Thrones, John Freaky.
At some point, I have to sit down and actually watch.
If you're not in it now, John, it's too late, because this is it. If you ain't joined this Game of Thrones train, by now it's too late for you, John Freaky.
No, I don't think so.
We're about to leave you.
I didn't join the Americans because I didn't have – what was the Americans on, like Showtime or HBO, one of
something
them?
Something like that.
So I didn't watch the Americans for like the first 5 seasons until it dropped onto like Netflix, and then I caught up. I've seen the first 10 minutes of the first Game of Thrones, where they come out from behind the wall, and they go into the forest, and there's some like dragon 3-headed things that are all dead in the forest. And at that point, the Maven said, she doesn't like the fantasy stuff.
Oh, man, it's great.
I know, but she doesn't like it, okay?
And then,
looked at that and she said, nah, I'm not doing this, turn it off.
And did I know I'm not going to spoil it for anybody just in case y'all didn't see it, but the girl that plays Arya Stark, she had a big spoiler. I think it was on Jimmy Kimmel where she blew it. I'm not going to say anything about it, girl. I'm just saying. She kind of spoiled it for everybody. But Friday night at SunTrust Park, they're going to have Game of Thrones night. Listen, I wish I had the wherewithal or knew somebody that could get me an outfit that real quick. I would probably go as the Mountain, but to get the costume and everything, that'd be kind of like hard to do right now. But yeah, Game of Thrones night, that's going to be pretty dope at SunTrust Park.
Yeah, I don't think
you looked at me like, ugh.
Dressing up. You know what? I'll go as Better Call Saul night, and I'll just drive a little.
Dude, do you know, like, this weekend, they are having Game of Thrones parties this week, upcoming weekend. They're going to have Game of Thrones watch parties. I don't have HBO right now, but I'm going to have to figure it out. Yeah, I got to put it on the app. I got to get the app.
And you can order it.
No, I don't feel like ordering it. I'm going to see if I can find it.
It's like $14.99.
I'm going to see if I can find it some other way.
Tony's from Gwinnett. He joins John and Hugh. Hey, John and Hugh. Hey, Tony, what up?
What's going on, Tony?
I don't know. I almost hung up with the Game of Thrones conversation. But anyway, look, these guys are multi-million-dollar professionals, and they need to have their head in the game and bat wherever they need to bat. I mean, I don't think moving Acuna around is going to make a difference. He's going to have to just get it together and bat. And
well, Tony, let me ask you this. I mean, let's just take the body of work. What did Acuna do at leadoff last year?
Well, he did well, but that's because he was there. He's a professional. He's now a $100 million man. He's got to be able to come around, and I think he will. I don't think moving him, that says more if you've got to move him before he can come around. And Donaldson, we ran this guy $23 million. Right now, he needs to be batting ninth. How dare he demand anything? I'm going to demand some of that money back if he doesn't start hitting.
He's been playing great defense. He hasn't been hitting, though. Again, you look at what Ronald Acuna – when did the Braves take off last year? When they moved Ronald Acuna to leadoff and he got hot. It may work out that he gets hot at number 4, but I've been kind of questioning this move from the jump. They're trying to see if he can do a cleanup position, you know, be a cleanup batter for them. I don't know why you necessarily – and it isn't to what Kev tweeted in that – Ender and Ozzie haven't been doing well at the top of the order so far. They've been doing pretty good. It's a question of what's the best lineup you can put out there. And for the Braves last year, the best lineup they could put out there was Ronald Acuna Jr. leading off. He was the most feared leadoff hitter in the game.
Yeah, but I think out of necessity, you put him at fourth to bat cleanup, John, because on paper, if you get Josh Donaldson going and you got Freddie Freeman out there and Ender getting on base, then it makes sense to put him at the cleanup spot if he's hitting.
Mm-hmm,
so he has to hit. He has to hit. He definitely has to hit.
Talking about the Braves as they get ready to go to Colorado and try and take out the Rockies. Quick three-game set at Mile High Stadium. Mile High Stadium at Coors Field. Man, oh mercy. Down in Lodo. Like I haven't been to Coors Field. I have been to Coors Field plenty of times. Down in Lodo as they take on the Rockies. And hopefully the ball starts flying out of there. They get that humidor thing going. And
yeah, because the air's a little bit thin in Colorado.
Man, when I lived in Denver for that brief period of time, when they talk about the ball flying there, they ain't kidding.
Yeah.
Suddenly, if you're a golfer, you're hitting like 370-yard drives.
Oh, you loved that, didn't you?
Yeah,
you
I
loved
did.
That. You golfed,
I didn't. Yeah, it didn't suck. I thought that much. Makes you feel like Mungo out there because you go, yeah.
Yeah, I did killing the ball.
You're out there killing the ball. So we'll keep our eyes on that. Coming up on the show at the top of the 9 o'clock hour, Kevin Kugler live from Minneapolis. He's the man calling the play-by-play of the title game. He called the Final Four. We'll get his impression of what took place between Virginia and Auburn and break down the championship game. That's at the top of the hour. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little football. The Falcons get ready for the draft, which is, of course, coming up in
a couple of weeks.
17 days away.
Yeah.
I had to look at the date today, April the 8th.
Oh, yeah, and I just found out because I didn't know. They said that wasn't a real spoiler, Darryl, so you owe me an apology. They said it was a fake spoiler. You owe me an apology.
Also this week, it is Masters weekend. If you're going to Augusta, if you're going Friday, great way to do it for the weekend is to join Dukes and Bell. They're going to be broadcasting from the Oconee Brewing Company in Greensboro, Georgia, 2 to 7 on Friday. So if you're headed out to Augusta, you might want to just stop on the way and hang out and enjoy a beer with the guy. A lot of prize giveaways, fun games to play. That's Dukes and Bell, 2 to 7 at Oconee Brewing in Greensboro. Full information on our events page at 929thegame.com. When we get back, D-Led has put out his pre-draft Falcons depth chart, and it's interesting. There are some interesting things. It's unofficial, but we have to point out a few things that you'll find, at least I did. Monday morning after a big weekend heading towards the NCAA title game tonight, we'll take you live to Minneapolis this evening. Kevin Kugler at 9 o'clock will be calling the play-by-play this evening at the championship game, and he's going to join us in a little over half an hour from now. We'll get his thoughts on the championship game and what he saw at the Final Four. That'll be a lot of fun to get Kevin on here and discuss that. In the meantime, there's other news besides the Braves and the Hawks and everything else going on, and that is the NFL draft is in 17 days. Oh, Hugh, by the way, before we get into this, did you see over the weekend where the Orlando Apollos of the AAF put out a football with the final score of their last game? You know, the AAF disbanded, right?
Yeah.
And then the Apollos, because they had the best record in the league, proclaimed themselves the champions of the league because they had the best record.
Yeah, because I think I read this story because there were some bets that were being laid as far as who's going to win the first year of the AAF. And I think they were, for betting purposes, that's probably why they did it, I do believe.
Well, what is it with Orlando and proclaiming yourself football champions that you didn't win?
But you got the best record.
So they didn't win a title. They just had the best record. That's not exactly a championship.
Well,
and they didn't go through the playoffs.
Well, technically, I'm playing devil's advocate here. If they were allowed to play out the whole season.
We wouldn't know. I mean, if they were allowed to play out the whole season, would Texas Tech be in the championship game? Or we would have just declared Duke the champion?
It's not the same thing. I think you probably want to get off the soapbox on this one there, brother. You don't need to be on the soapbox on this one.
No, but I'm talking about the city of Orlando has this propensity for proclaiming itself football champions, whether it's UCF or Orlando, when you never actually won a title. It's kind of weird.
I mean, yeah, it is weird.
But Orlando City is going to say that they're champions because they won three in a row?
It's weird that in one area that they seem to have that issue with that. But, again, I'll say that they had the best record, and since they shut down operations – before they actually played a championship game, then I would say, yeah, I give them that trophy. What are they going to get for it? A T-shirt?
I don't know.
They get to keep your helmet?
Yeah, I'm right.
You get to keep the helmet that you played with?
I guess.
Shoulder pads?
17 days to Nashville in the NFL draft, and as we count down to the draft, D-Led put together a – now, I don't know that this is an official depth chart from the Falcons. I think it's just D-Led kind of working it up from what they used to have or their last depth chart. But I think it's accurate, and I think it's interesting. So he put it in the on the AJC's site, if you just Google AJC Falcons. Some things we know, wide receiver, depth chart, quarterback, running back, whatnot. Here's how he has the offensive line shaping up at the moment for the Atlanta Falcons, Hugh. Your left tackle, this is D-Led's depth chart.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Matthews at left tackle.
Obviously.
James Carpenter at left guard, the newly signed James Carpenter.
Yeah, just got paid.
Alex Mack at center.
Obviously.
Jamon Brown at right guard ahead of Brandon Fusco.
Just got paid.
And Tyson Brelo at right tackle.
Yes.
Just got paid.
Yeah.
So that's your offensive line. It'll be interesting. I think the only thing I think is that Brown versus Fusco at right guard will be an interesting battle.
I don't think it is going to be a battle. I think those guys are coming in, from what I've heard, with the nasty that they play with, serviceable guys, they're going to be the starters.
All right, running back, you have Devontae Freeman, 1, Ito Smith, 2, Brian Hill, 3, and then Kenyon Barner is listed at 4. He's also the top kick returner. Remember, they went out and got Kenyon Barner.
Mm-hmm.
I think more to be a kick returner, but he also does point out that he is a serviceable backup at running back. He was a good running back at Oregon in college, so he can be used in that position as well. But I think you're looking at him being kind of a game changer with a kick returning. We've been through this ever since Devin Hester. We've tried Roberts.
We just had a guy back there, and then we got somebody who was another guy. We need somebody that's a little bit special. We need a special player at that position.
Nothing of note really on the defensive line. Vic, Deidrin Sanok, Grady Jarrett, Tack McKinley across the defensive line. Of course, now how that changes with Deidrin Sanok's position and the draft, and even then, with the way they rotate in and out, starter is a relative term on the defensive line.
Yes, but it's about the rotation, about getting some guys in the rotation that are going to, you know, play their role and give Coach Quinn what he needs when he needs it. Because he didn't get a whole lot of that last year. When you think about that defensive line rotation, wasn't a whole lot of sparks flying in that spot. So, yeah, you're going to have to get some guys that are going to work well into the rotation. They're going to give you some pressure on the quarterback.
The depth chart says that linebacker Dion in the middle, Devondre at the strong side, Sam linebacker position, and then at the weak side, Foye Oluokun ahead of Duke Riley. You have any problem with that?
Mm-mm. Duke had his spot. He had a chance, especially with all the injuries. He had a chance. And Foye came in and he took advantage of the situation, and now he's probably going to be the starter. Duke would be lucky this year if he makes the roster. Probably be lucky if he makes the roster. If they go out and if they go get some other guys, some younger guys to come in there and work at the linebacker spot, he might be out of a job.
And he would be the second bust from LSU to join Jalen Collins.
See, that bust, that there's that word again.
Well, was Jalen Collins a bust?
Jalen Collins was not a bust. Johnny got in trouble. Jalen Collins got in trouble because he had issues.
He did have issues. He had lots of issues. The secondary looks like this. Keanu at strong safety. It's good to see Rico Allen listed as a starter at free with Dez Trevant, Isaiah Oliver, and Devontae KZ in the two corner slots and nickel. How do you feel about that secondary? If that's your starting secondary, how do you feel about it?
That's not bad. I'm more concerned about the D-line, though. I mean, what is my D-line looking like? That's the telltale right there. I think Trufant's a good corner. I really do. I know a lot of people probably don't feel that way. They felt like, you know, he was stealing. But I've seen flashes of Trufant, good Trufant. And I think that if you get a good D-line in front of him that puts pressure on the quarterback, they're going to be a much better secondary.
And people, I think, fans would have a better opinion of Dez Trufant if he didn't drop so many
picks.
I mean, I think he's dropped 5 or 6 in the last couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah, that does it too. And a couple times he got burnt a little bit, but that happens. Like I always say, John, pass rush and coverage go hand in hand. And if you can get some guys out there, man, that can put pressure on the quarterback, man, it makes it so much easier to cover.
A couple of thoughts here. One is that Devontae Casey at the nickel, I'm okay with that, but he did such a good job at free that he was such a ball hawk that I hope that they don't lose that. It's Isaiah Oliver getting that starting spot alongside Dez Trufant that we really have to see Isaiah Oliver take a huge step up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny you talk about Jalen Collins. He was that guy. He was in that same position. when he was here. Unfortunately, you know, he couldn't you know, keep himself clean, and you know, things happen. And now he's out of the league. But, yeah, there's going to be some opportunity there. He's a little bit bigger guy. I think they kind of like – they want to go to bigger corners eventually. And, you know, he gives you some ability as far as coverage goes. He can go man-to-man, a little bit of man-to-man. So I'm thinking that you get that pass rush going, there's going to be some opportunities for him to be out there ball hawking.
Boy, I'd love to be able to go – they're never going to let me, but I'd love to be able to go to Flowery Branch and sit in that war room and just see who's on their big board, because I've never seen a year where I was kind of as lost as I am this year going into the draft – trying to figure out what the Falcons are going to do. And the reason I think I'm lost more than anything else is that all these so-called experts out there have thrown so many different names at us.
Smoke screens.
Yeah, from cornerbacks. We've seen two cornerbacks, three offensive linemen, five defensive linemen, a defensive end. We've seen so many different names thrown at us in that number 14 slot. And I understand that it's really difficult to mock draft because you can't presume trades. You can't know who's got who on their big board or how they evaluate their players. You're looking only at, as it stands now, and what the team's biggest need is and who the best player on the board from a national perspective is.
Yeah, and matching that's that how up. That's how most people try to do it. They go through the teams and they look at the biggest needs, the biggest losses, and things of that nature, and you try to guesstimate what the team is going to do. But that's the beautiful part about it. You never know how it's going to go down. In that war room, you never know who, what team covets, regardless of the position of need. You always hear people, for the most part, teams always say the same: "We're going to get the best player. We're going to address some needs, but if that's not the case, we're going to get the best player available."
Well, there's also the issue with the defensive line behind Quinnen Williams and Nick Bosa. However, you've won two. However, you do that. It's a mishmash. Some people think Rashawn Gary's three. Some people think Ed Oliver's three. Some people think that you got to go with Cleveland Furl because he's such a great rush end. It's hard to kind of grasp beyond the top two the exact order.
Yeah, and you know what? John Fricke, lace up your Snickers and join me, Hugh Douglas, on Saturday, April 13th for the 40th Sickle Cell Road Race and Walk in the city of East Point. The race is a charitable event with proceeds supporting Camp New Hope and other services of Sickle Cell Foundation of Georgia. For more information, go to sicklecellrace.com. That's sicklecellrace.com.
Going to be a busy 9 o'clock hour live to Minneapolis with Kevin Kugler. And Mike Connie is going to join us at 9:20 talking about Atlanta United. Stand by for all that ahead on The Morning Show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Now back to more John and Hugh.
And you need to listen
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
National title game, as Tanju was talking about tonight, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Our coverage begins at 7:30, tip at 9:20 between the Virginia Cavaliers and the Texas Tech Red Raiders. Big 12 against ACC in Minneapolis. And we're going to take you in about 15 minutes live to Minneapolis. Kevin Kugler, who does play-by-play for Westwood One, will join us. And we'll get the breakdown of the championship game and what he saw in those Final Four matchups, especially the ending of the Virginia and Auburn game. We'll do that in about 15 minutes from now. Also in the next hour at 9:20-ish, Mike Connie talking about Atlanta United. We finally get back into a work week for Atlanta United as they get back into action coming up this weekend as they go to New England and get back onto the pitch. Meantime, there's more NFL news 17 days ahead of the NFL draft. Hugh, what is going on with Antonio Brown and him taking shots at Juju Smith-Schuster and his old team?
I saw that, John. And the first thing that I thought, I was just like, wow. Because basically what I saw was the tweet that he sent. I guess Juju Smith was the Pittsburgh Steelers MVP, most valuable player that season. And Antonio took issue with that. And he tweeted something about Juju dropping balls
in
the playoffs, games, mm-hmm. and things of that nature. And I was just like, wow, that was really telling. It was funny because yesterday Randy Mack tweeted out that, you know, this is something that a phone call could have handled. You know, you don't have to get on Twitter and say things of that nature. You know, I say this, John. There were teammates that I didn't get along with. And you know, there were guys that I really didn't jive too well with. But at the end of the day, they're still your teammate. And there is a certain level of respect that goes along with having a teammate. You don't always see eye to eye on things. But come Sunday, you're always on the same page. And even though Antonio Brown's gone, I think for him to take a shot at his old teammate like that was kind of a low blow. I don't know what their relationship was in the locker room, but I honestly believe that everything that's in the locker room is not good for public consumption. You could have handled that a little bit better.
Well, we know that the Steelers have had issues, major issues. Mike Tomlin, Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, they've had a lot of issues in that locker room. Players calling out players and players not showing up, and they've had sort of a never-ending soap opera in Pittsburgh. We also know that Juju Smith-Schuster shot back on Twitter and defended himself against Antonio Brown. Somebody tweeted out that this is not a good look for Antonio for his new team. I have a different take on that.
What's that?
I think that John Gruden likes this. I think that's why he went out and got Vontaze Burfict. I think John Gruden wants the Raiders to be the most hated team in the NFL.
Kind of like
they
used to be.
Yeah, I think he wants that mystique back.
Yeah, but I hear what you're saying, and there probably is some truth to that, John. But how does that play with your teammates that you are in the locker room with now? And if you calling those guys out. Now, it's a thing called accountability. And that's what you do when you're trying to hold one of your teammates accountable. And, you know, teammate got to step up. But to take shots at somebody on the way out the door with a team that you didn't want to be with, I don't think that's cool. I really don't think that's cool. And AB, for him taking shots at Juju like that, that's not cool. That's not cool at all.
Yeah, well, it'd be interesting to see if the Raiders try and shut that down at all. I have a feeling they won't.
Why would you shut that down? Why would you? Because the way that they're looking at it, he's letting off a little steam.
Mm-hmm.
And he is. He's probably feeling some kind of way about leaving Pittsburgh. But Juju did kind of become their go-to guy when he was going through what he was going through. So you can't hate on him for that. He's doing the same thing that you're trying to get paid. So for him to take a shot at him like that, I think that's not cool.
It is the Morning Show with John and Hugh. It's a beautiful week ahead. It's Masters Week. We're getting ready for golf, and if you're headed over to Augusta, I envy you. I wish I were going. It was a year ago today on the Monday that I was last at Augusta. And I can't.
You ain't gonna go get the pimento sandwiches this weekend?
Nah,
go get you pimento?
No, I can't afford that, Hugh. I don't have a ticket, and I'm not about to buy one.
Well, ain't nobody say buy no tickets.
Man, because if you see the price of those things, oh my God.
All right, I wasn't buying no ticket. You know what? I remember the closest that I've been to like an actual golf tournament like that was in Aronimink, because when I lived in Pennsylvania, it was like, I did not know, it was like right, I was like right down the street from it. And it was, I remember one morning I was going to work. I never knew that many women were that interested in golf. I never knew that. Like, I'm talking about that were like dressed up like they were going to the club. I never knew that women watched golf with like party dresses on like they did when they go to the tournaments like this.
If you want to go to the practice round on Wednesday, just looking at StubHub, if you want to go to the practice round on Wednesday and watch the par 3 tournament, the tickets start on StubHub at $3,000 a piece.
Come on, John. I know you know somebody.
I don't know nobody that well.
You know what? Maybe we can ask Deuce and Bell, because isn't the brewery up that way, a Coney Brewery up that way? Maybe they know somebody to get them in. And maybe if we get some Hey Man Ale
from them. We can't get a beer from them.
No,
you expect me to get a ticket to the Masters?
I got a beer. Dukes gave me a beer.
Oh, you finally did? He broke down and gave you one.
Well, I kind of, you know.
They wanted to charge me like $12. I should tell me something,
I kind of threatened him a little bit, but he gave me the beer. He gave it to me. But, yeah, I think that if we come with a case of Hey Man Ale, and you know they got them tall boys now.
Right.
For all y'all don't know about them tall boys, that's the 60-ounce kids.
I wonder if at Augusta they have, like, you know, a fleet of guys out there trying to blow off all the yellow with, like, you know, the
The fleet of guys blowing off what?
The yellow off, because yellow's everywhere. I mean, it's on your truck. It's in it. You know, I mean.
I didn't know where you was going with that for a minute.
The pollen
has been bad.
Man.
The pollen has been real bad. I don't know about that, John. I'm just trying to get me a couple of these tall boys or this Hey Man and get out here and get you. I'm trying to get you in Augusta. You ain't helping me out here talking about the air blowers and people doing that other stuff.
I know
you ain't helping out the situation.
I know Augusta's coming up this weekend because every guy north of the perimeter was at Home Depot this weekend because they don't want to be at Home Depot next weekend.
They want to get it out right, so they can be just sitting in front of the TV.
The Home Depot this weekend was bananas. You couldn't find a place to park, and you had to circle the parking lot, and then the lineup to get, you know, topsoil.
What you go to Home Depot to get, man?
I had to get topsoil. I had to get a dozen bags of large pine bark nuggets. I got a couple of bags of 50-pound play sand.
You ain't put that. You ain't put all that in the Taurus, did you?
Yeah, I had to make a few trips.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean,
as much lawn work as you do, you need to get you a truck. You definitely
I need a truck in the worst way. And I can't wait to get a pickup right now. It's just not in the budget to get a new truck. But I really want to pick up in the worst
way. Is that about three of them cars that I heard you got out there with West Islamabad?
Well, I did sell one of them. I got rid of one of them.
And so you got all, so basically you got all your lawn work done so you can get ready for the Masters.
For now. Okay. I mean, as much as I could get done this weekend. But, the Home Depot, the lines were incredible.
Who's the favorite in the field? Do you know?
No, I could go look it up. I don't know who the favorite is. I don't know who they have as the favorite on the board. Got to be a Ricky or a Rory. But for my money, I want Tiger to win.
Tiger Woods, y'all.
Darn right. That's who I'm rooting for because I is a big Eldrick fan. Huge Eldrick fan. Yeah, $3,000. You want a badge for all 4 days? They start at $11,000. $11,000 a person. Kevin Kugler is going to be at a place where there's a hot ticket tonight, Minneapolis, Minnesota, NCAA Championship game. He joins us live from Minneapolis. What he thinks of the game tonight and his impressions of the Final Four from Westwood One's play-by-play guy who was there and called the game. That's next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.